This is Pastor Talk, a weekly podcast designed to help Christians navigate a variety of issues. Thanks for joining us as we promote Christian thinking and the glory of God. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a new recording of Pastor Talk. Glad that you have joined us here on this new episode.
Click the play button.
Clicked the play button for this new episode concerning something that I think is very, very applicable today.
Well, it is, and I know why.
But it hasn't always been.
But should not it always have been?
No.
You mean like back in 32 A.D.?
Correct.
In the early church?
When there wasn't as many options, then today's question was less applicable.
Okay.
Right?
That's true.
But today's church situation, the question is very applicable, and probably too many people face it and ask it.
So now that we've built up a lot of interest in what today's subject and question is, do you think we should let them know what it will be?
No. Well, if they can read, they already know.
Maybe we just wait till the very end, see if they can guess.
Yeah. Or maybe we should just leave now.
Okay, it's been fun. Send in more questions, and we'll do our best to not answer them.
Correct. Well, okay, listener-submitted question. Go. What is it?
Okay.
You don't have it memorized?
Yeah. Well, it was actually a statement.
Okay.
It was, leave the church well. So I'm assuming it means, how do you leave a church well?
All right. So there's a lot of assumptions built into that.
Right.
Lots and lots of assumptions.
You feel a need to leave the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can assume you may be moving. God may be calling you to the mission field.
Oh, moving, like changing towns?
Yeah, moving communities.
Okay. Let's assume here from our end that when a person leaves a church, they're going to another church. Let's assume the question doesn't mean...
Same town, you mean?
No, I mean, let's assume the question doesn't mean leave the church as in leave... Never go to church again.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Let's assume it means I'm leaving one church for another church.
I don't think you can leave the church well if you're going to leave the church and never attend church again.
Correct. So I just wanted to be explicit about that,
okay.
Get it out there in the open. That's not what we're talking about.
There you go.
All these other circumstances, leaving town, moving from one town to another, being called to the mission field, or probably most naturally, this question is submitted in the context of conflict.
Yeah, because sometimes conflict arises in a church, almost always, actually. But
yes. There
are ways to take care of conflict.
Yes.
Scripturally.
And conflict isn't always bad.
No.
Which I think we'll talk about in a little bit.
I think it's good.
Hmm.
I don't like it, but I think it is good. Keeps the water from becoming muddy.
Hmm. Anywho's, let's first start off by saying what I just told you before we hit
the
record button.
Is that a modern language word?
What?
Anywho's.
I don't know where I got that. I've been saying that for years.
Okay.
Anywho's, I want to share what I shared with you before we hit the record button about the lack of verses, and in fact, that there is no verse in the Bible that tells you how to leave a church. And the reason for that is because the Bible assumes a higher commitment to a church fellowship than what most of us practice or realize. So,
right. I think you're right.
The far number of verses are about unity and peace and reconciliation.
Right.
And that's what the scriptures are concerned about. And that's also why I go back to it wasn't necessarily as applicable because there weren't a whole lot of churches, right? There was one church.
Right.
And you were part of that one church. And so in that kind of a context, you left church for really a few reasons. You were leaving town or you were disciplined out.
Right.
So this church hopping, as we refer to it today, where there's multiple churches in the same town and you just go from one to the other,
right,
based on your preferences, right, or based on conflict, that's really unbiblical in a lot of ways. So just to get that out there, the lack of scripture regarding leaving shows us the commitment level that we are to have to the church God has us in for as long as we can possibly have it.
Right.
I like to liken it somewhat to a marriage relationship. We're in it so far as we can be for life.
Right.
So.
But in a marriage, well, yeah, there's some differences.
I mean, yeah, it's not a hard and fast comparison.
Well, I did a good reasons for leaving a church and a bad reasons for leaving a church.
Okay.
Let me give you a bad reason for leaving the church.
Are you going to, like, give a reason, then we talk about it, or are you just going to fly through your list? Well,
yeah, either way, this first one, I actually have a good reason and a bad reason kind of tied together.
Okay.
The bad reason is the preacher uses too much scripture.
Which I've heard before.
You've heard that. I know you have. So that would be a bad reason to leave the church. Possibly a good reason to leave the church. The preacher uses no scripture.
Okay.
And I think we do see that sometimes in some of the modern, new age, whatever they are, churches.
And we should inject here what you said also before we hit the record button, that all of this is built on the assumption that multiple conversations are happening before a person leaves.
Right. I do have a little asterisk. I don't know if you see that on my page.
I don't look at your notes. I don't cheat.
The asterisk says, leaving the church is the last step. First, confront the situation, strive for clarity, and resolve the problem. And do this in love.
Yep.
So there's always, before you get your feelings hurt and your feathers ruffled up, you know, talk to people about it. Don't start gossiping to all your other friends and see if you can get them on your side.
Oh, yeah.
But if the pastor's not using scripture, you would go to your pastor in love and say, hey, brother, I've noticed that there's not much scripture being used in your messages. Is that for a reason, or
yeah?
Why is that?
There's no just up and leave. There's no just quietly exiting.
A little bit of confrontation is a good thing.
Yeah.
Maybe the man doesn't realize he's not using very much scripture.
Well, there's a whole can of worms there, but
that's true.
Yeah.
Another reason that you would want to consider leaving a church. And this also has the same asterisk. Scripture is misinterpreted. Sin is declared to be not sin. So if there's a sin that they're teaching is okay,
mm-hmm,
and Bible clearly says, nope, it's not, then you know you might confront the church leaders and before you make that decision, well, I can't worship with you anymore. Another one with an asterisk, pastors will not confront unrepented sin in the church. So if you have an individual that's living in sin, doesn't care,
publicly,
and he's one of your members,
yeah,
publicly, unrepentant sin, I think pastors have an obligation to confront the individual. The whole idea is to get him back into a right way of living and to reestablish a good relationship with him and the rest of the church community.
Mm-hmm. I think a big one that's not on your list, was that the last one?
I skipped one. That may be the one you're thinking.
They get the gospel wrong.
Well, that would be scripture being misinterpreted.
Well, yeah, okay. I see how it fits there. But, I mean, they add to... add to the gospel or take
Jesus
away from the gospel and Galatians 1 says, let them be accursed.
Right.
We should not have fellowship. I mean, there's a command in Scripture not to have fellowship with those who get the gospel wrong.
But if you're rocking along, you've been in this church for 10 years, and all of a sudden that is the case, then definitely need to start confronting people about it and say, why is that? Has your belief changed, or what's the deal?
Yeah.
Lucille.
Maybe a new pastor has come.
Yeah, maybe.
Something like that. But
one of them that did not have an asterisk where you confront the problem, where God is actually moving you to another area, which it's a good reason to move, change churches. It's hard to serve faithfully in one church if you don't live nearby.
Yeah. If at all possible, you should be in church where you live.
I've heard a lot of excuses.
Were those the bad ones?
Those were all the good reasons.
Good reasons. Okay.
The bad reason would be the music is just not to my taste.
Oh.
That is not a good reason to leave a church.
Again,
you should probably confront to make sure that this music is scriptural.
Yeah, but when you start basing stuff on your preferences, you've got a whole host of issues yourself.
How about there are too many hypocrites in my church, in this church? I need to go to another one.
Yeah.
Where I don't know who those hypocrites are.
Look in the mirror, bud.
Yeah, look in the mirror. How about there's nothing for my children here?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that one you hear all the time?
You hear it a lot, and, you know, it may be, I got an asterisk by it. So maybe you need to confront that issue before you just up and leave.
I think you should, but I also think you should be part of the solution.
I do too.
Help. I guarantee you, your pastor and your church leaders want a thriving children's ministry. They just need help.
Another, I think this is a bad reason. We don't face it here. A bad reason for leaving the church, that gathering together publicly is dangerous.
Correct.
A harsh environment for believers.
Correct.
But you still, I'm thinking that those people somehow still have some type of fellowship with each other.
Oh, they do, in secret.
In secret. And, you know, when they pass each other on the street, they raise their eyebrows or some secret signal to say, praise the Lord.
You know? They don't do that anymore because you just gave away the secret signal.
Oh, man. Sorry, y'all.
But yeah, there's brothers and sisters all over the world who meet in secret because
right.
It's illegal for them to meet. And yet, you're saying that's
that
not
a
reason,
bad reason to leave the church.
Yeah.
Just figure out how you can worship together, still have community, you know.
Yeah. So, wisdom says there can be moments when you should leave a church. And scriptural principles indicate that too. Again, if the false gospel is being
right.
preached, and the church isn't going to change its direction on that or its position on that, then you don't need to subject yourself to that, nor do you need to subject your family, your children, or whoever else
sure,
to that.
Sure, I don't
you
want my little kids taught wrong theology.
Right. But then when it comes to these other preference things, that's just foolishness, because the Bible says we are to be unified together and meet together. We're really a family. We are brothers and sisters.
Right.
And you don't just up and leave your family like that.
Right. And brothers and sisters do occasionally squabble.
Occasionally? Yes. Some more occasionally than others.
But the underlying rule there is, even though we're squabbling, I love you.
Right.
And that's not going to separate our love for each other.
Yeah. You know, those relationships, they thrive when there's a common understanding that we may disagree, but nothing's going to get between us. Nothing's
right.
going to hinder our affections for one another. That allows for free communication.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, because I can come to you, and we're close, we're good friends, but sometimes we have differences, and we should be able to come to each other and confront each other on it.
And
not get worried about the relationship yeah. dissolving.
And speaking to that, in that same scenario, when there's an issue that you're more strongly about than I am and we disagree, well, my love for you dictates to me, it almost compels me to give up my position. Not because I'm compromising. It's just I don't need to be right. This isn't that big a deal to me. I value our friendship
sure.
more than I do being
Thank
right.
Thank you, brother. Just, you know, you can still keep your convictions. Just don't harp on it.
Well, I'm not ever opening up to you again. So I assume our listener here who submitted this subject, question, statement, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, is in a situation where they're considering leaving their church.
Right.
And perhaps they realize that they do fall into one of these good categories.
Okay.
Maybe they're on the fence and they don't know. My go-to advice is stick it out as long as you can, always. That's the
right.
first thing. Commitment should be incredibly high. So as long as your children's soul or your soul isn't in jeopardy, try to stick it out. Sometimes you just can't. So let's assume one of these good reasons have come up, and it is time for a brother or sister to part ways from a church family.
Okay.
How should they do that in a right way?
Okay, I have an answer. I don't know if it's the best answer, but it is an answer.
But it is an answer.
I feel like every church member should be in some form or fashion contributing to the body. As a member of the church, God places us there with certain gifts to edify the body.
Yes.
I think that's
First
very
Corinthians
scriptural.
12.
Very scriptural, yes.
13 and 14.
So if you are considering leaving your body, which you are actively a part of, and you should be,
then you should
give them a lot of notification because you're going to leave a void when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
So you should allow them time to start filling in that void instead of just, you know, bingo, I'm not there anymore.
Assuming that you're mature in serving, like you're saying,
that's
the assumption.
And if you're not serving in any capacity in your church, that's wrong, first off.
Yes.
You should be doing
some
things.
The problem is likely with you and not necessarily the church.
And
if
you
saying that's always the case.
If you were to be able to leave and no one would miss you, other than, well, they used to sit over here all the time.
Yeah.
Then that may be wrong. There's something wrong in that
Absolutely.
Relationship with the individual and the church.
I would say two things real quick on how to leave a church well. First is people should know well in advance, especially the leadership of that church, and if possible, the whole church at a members' meeting after the leadership knows.
Right.
Pastors and elders and even the deacons, however your church is currently structured, should know way in advance before anybody else that this is on my heart and here's why. But then, even at a members' meeting, it's not always bad to voice those things, given the approval of the leaders of the church,
right,
for you to stand and share those things, because you are committed in this church family together. The other thing I would say is, assuming that you have had the discussions, people know, you've voiced your concerns, you should never leave out of hatred or bitterness or resentment or with ill feeling.
Right.
And I'm here's a disclaimer. Not if it's a false teaching church. That's one thing. But if for some other reason something has come up and you do need to leave, you need to remember this is the bride of Christ.
Right.
And these people, no matter how far off they've gotten, and no matter how confused they may be, are people for whom Christ died.
Right.
And so we can't leave out of hatred or ill feeling or bitterness or anger unless they're teaching a different gospel.
Correct.
So just stomping out of the door, gossiping to the community about how low these people are or whatever,
right,
is sinful.
Well, absolutely. You're giving the body of Christ a bad name, which in essence gives Christ a bad name.
Right.
Does not bring glory to God at all.
Right.
And all things. And we want to do that.
Right.
So, yeah, but sometimes you need to. Another problem I see sometimes is somebody leaves a church because their beliefs are now different.
Mm-hmm.
Their interpretation of some scriptures are different than this church is teaching. So you don't want to cause a split in your church or cause a problem for other people in the church because you're convicted one way.
Right.
And you don't want to start gathering a bunch of people to your side of the question. so that you can put force on other people. It's just not healthy.
Right. I would also say a word to pastors and churches who are admitting members. So our standard practice here at our church is when somebody wants to join us from another church in town, they first have to go visit with the pastors of that church and inform them that they're leaving, why they're leaving, before we will admit them to membership. And I think that's important because they need to realize at the beginning, first, our desire is for you to reconcile. Second, if you can't reconcile and you become a member here, we expect that same treatment. That right. Being part of a church is a high privilege and a commitment. And so we just don't want to contribute to the church hopping.
Right.
So maybe absolutely. Your church leader out there or a person that has something to do with the membership process in your church, don't be so quick to admit members from other churches in town without really diving into that issue.
Right. What else do we would you say we ask somebody that wants to be a member? Because there's a whole matter, there's a whole formula that we try to follow.
Yes.
To make sure.
Yes.
That we have people who believe the same way we do.
Yes.
So we give them. I kind of asked you the question. I started answering.
Yes.
So let me just ask the question. So what other things would we do to someone who might want to become a member of our church?
Well, first, we realize that to have a healthy church, you have to have a meaningful membership. That's a foundation.
Okay.
And that foundation is built on the cornerstone of only admitting Christians to the church membership.
That's probably a good cornerstone.
So to be a member here, the most foundational basic element is you have to be born again.
Okay.
So with that understanding, yeah, well, it should go without saying, but it doesn't. And in traditional, the past 50 or 75 years, the practice of Southern Baptist churches hasn't been that.
Yeah, you come down front and say, I want to be a member, and everybody go, yay, yeah. New meat.
And we don't even know, your last name or where you come from or anything. So with that understanding, we have a membership process. You can't just come down and join, and it actually takes several weeks to join.
Right.
In fact, our constitution team is the first area of our constitution we're writing is on membership and what it means to be a member and how to join, and we've just gotten through this kind of section. And right now, the name could change, but we call it a membership conference. And that just means that a person receives beforehand and then at this conference goes over our statement of beliefs, and they'll go over our church covenant. Eventually, they'll have the church constitution, those sorts of things. And what we want to do is, basically, we want people to know who we are, and we want to know who they are before they can join. We want to know that, so far as we're able, they're Christians. Because if we say that only Christians can be members here, then in essence, when we allow people to be members, we're giving our stamp of approval of their salvation.
Sure. And we basically ask them to share the gospel to the best of their knowledge.
Yeah.
Just to make sure they know exactly how to be saved.
Right. We ask them about their previous church involvement. We ask if they're if they've ever been under church discipline. We ask what their spiritual gift is and how they think they could serve here. Usually, because of this process, people have been attending our church for months before they desire to join.
Right.
So we just ask them, from what you've noticed, where do you think you could help the church grow? What's your gift? How do you think you can serve? All of those sorts of things. So there's lots of questions, and those questions change based on the person or the couple joining, but they always include the gospel, their salvation, their spiritual gifts, their history, that kind of stuff. And then we walk through what we expect of them as members.
Well, what would that be?
Well, in our original church documents, there's a awesome phrase. It talks about doing this process, which was a document written in 1972, right around that time.
Okay.
And it says that it walks through these kind of conversations for membership, which we had lost that document, and we were practicing it anyways, which is just God's goodness. Anyways, it says they go through these questions and discussions to prevent a merely nominal membership.
Okay.
I just find to be really good. Yeah. Which they're saying anybody who joins here needs to understand this is a commitment and they have a part to play in that.
Right.
So some of the requirements and duties are to attend, to be faithful, to love Christ more than a pastor or the church, to give, to serve, to handle disagreements biblically, address conflict biblically. There's just a whole host of things that we walk through.
I like that nominal.
What it means to be a member.
It should behoove, because, well, let me take that behoove off the plate. But we should, and if you really look around in any church body, you have probably at least half the members there would fit into that category, nominal Christians.
Yeah.
Because they're probably real Christians. We're assuming they are.
Yeah.
We assume they love the Lord, and we assume that they will serve sometimes, but you rarely ever see them doing anything other than coming in on Sunday morning, taking their appropriate seat, and listening and getting up and leaving.
And our constitution team working on membership right now is going to address that. What do we do with members who are just attending occasionally? It's just not going to be easy to do from this point on.
Sure. Well,
because that's for their spiritual good. We understand there's people who are still growing in the faith. This isn't a hard line kind of thing, but it is for your good, we recognize you can't just sit here. You also have to exercise the gifts God's given you. You have to grow in the faith. So to be a member here means to be pushed towards that direction with love and gentleness and care and kindness and patience.
Yeah, a lot of love and a lot of gentleness.
Yeah.
Because you can be the, you're not serving good enough policeman.
And that's not at all what we're talking
about.
That's
not what we want. That's not what will make the body of Christ flourish.
Right. Anyways, all that to say, for us, it's really not that easy to leave. Our kind of thinking is, if we are really good at taking care of the front door, then it will be hard for people to leave out the back door.
Hopefully because they don't want to.
Hopefully. But if sin creeps up in life or, you know, whatever else, well, our membership is going to be structured in such a way that it'll be known when you're not around, and you'll be visited, and you'll be exhorted to come back into the fellowship.
Right.
And, you know,
kind of loved back into the fellowship.
Yeah, and we're even talking about some situations that a member can't just remove themselves from membership, because it may not be good for them to do that. They're stuck in a pattern of sin. It's not good for them to just remove themselves from membership.
Right. Where else can you be confronted with what's wrong in your life?
And encouraged in Christ
to
find hope and freedom. So anyways, there's a whole lot of nuances and complexities there that I'm not getting into. But all that to say, membership should be very important. And the person who's thinking about leaving should, in their mind, start with their own hearts and elevate membership to that place of importance and not be so quick to jump ship, not be so quick to jump the gun.
Right.
Now, occasionally there will be times, unfortunately, because we all are imperfect and churches are imperfect and they get corrupted. There will be times when a family, a person should leave, but they should do that in the spirit of conviction, in the spirit of Christ, and in the spirit of care for the church's well-being. Voicing their concerns, voicing their thoughts, spending time in prayer for those people, and loving, leaving with a loving, sorrowful heart.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It should hurt us to leave any kind of fellowship, even if it's for a good reason.
And it should hurt us that somebody would want to leave.
Yeah, it does.
It would break our hearts. Why? I feel when somebody does leave, and there are various reasons why they have in the past, I think I heard you say it's like getting punched in the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
just kind of takes the wind out of you.
Yeah, and they always say the same thing. This isn't personal.
It's not you.
Yeah, it's not you. It's not personal. And I've gotten to where I start saying, yeah, it is.
Well, it is to me.
And it is, because we're in a relationship together here. And right. You may have a ton of different reasons, and you may have more pressing reasons, but there's at least an element of personalness in it.
Sure.
Because we're personal beings, and we're in relationship together. And I get it. That may not be the driving factor, but that's a factor. And that's why it's painful. That's why it hurts.
Right.
And it should. We should be in relationship that way.
Well,
to
if
where
you look
it's
at
hard
a,
to leave.
If you look at a family, you have, say, 10, and one of them decides, well, I don't want to be a part of this family anymore. How hurtful can that be as they leave?
Yeah.
So, you know, if this person says, God's calling me to go to Russia on mission, or to go to Costa Rica or wherever, you name the place, then the family would just help them pack a bag, you know.
Yeah,
pack
it's
a lunch. Let me
it's
help
still
get
painful,
there.
But
we
do it with joy.
You, yeah,
and trusting God. Yeah. Anyways, I wish this question didn't need to be asked, but it does, and I feel like we haven't necessarily answered it as deep as we could, because I think we could spend a lot of time talking about this. Really, when you talk about leaving a church, you're talking about what does the Bible have to say about a church first,
right?
And then you're working your way back into that narrow subject. So there's a lot that we've left unsaid.
Sure.
But I guess I would just caution anybody to be 1,000% sure this is God's desire.
Right.
And more often than not, I don't think it is.
And you should depart kicking and screaming because you don't want to go.
Yeah, to some extent. Right.
I mean,
the commitment level here is just supposed to be so high that it's not easy to break fellowship.
Right.
Even for good reasons. Even if God's calling you to another country or whatever else, another town, it's just not easy. Anyways, that's how
well,
I think
be.
We should
you
view
know,
membership.
When I stand up to lead worship Sunday morning, a lot of times I'm looking out there, and just a love feeling consumes me because I'm looking out at my church family, and I love these people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they feel the same way toward each other.
Yeah, when people ask me, and they don't know me or they don't know our church, they ask about the church, I found my answer has routinely been, oh, they're my people.
Yeah.
And not in a sense of ownership, but in a sense of that's where I belong.
Right.
I mean, that's my family. Just like I would say my family doesn't mean I own my family, but so I say that those are my people.
Right.
That's family to me. And so that's a grace of God. Right. I hope it always stays that way.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend at a funeral one time, and I don't normally get to sit by this person and talk to them, but he was saying that, you know, sometimes I feel like my church family is actually closer to me than my real family.
Yep.
And that's just by the mercy of God and His grace and His love flowing through each other.
Mm-hmm. That's what we strive for. Well, like I said, there's a whole lot of other things we could say about this. At least I feel that way. And so if we didn't cover something, or we maybe have mentioned something that you want us to cover a little bit more thoroughly, submit a question. In fact, I think this was our last question in the bank.
Last one I have, unless Madison's got some that I don't have yet.
I don't know. So we would greatly love to get some questions from you, maybe some follow-up questions. Whatever you're facing or dealing with, send them this way. We have thoroughly enjoyed these questions. This podcast is far better when we have your questions instead of us making it up. So please send them. I just think it's good to hear from people and to know where they're at.
Sure.
So we won't be doing this next week.
Unless we do it on Friday.
I don't think I can.
Okay.
Anyways, you're going to be gone.
Well, I'll be gone maybe through Thursday.
You'll be in the mountains.
Where today the high was 72 and the low was 55.
Don't tell
Hopefully
me that.
I get to see an old friend up there.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I know my son lives up there, so I'll get to see him, but I want to spend some time with him and those that he cares for up there. But I also want to visit my old family member from church.
Yeah. You know you get to see your son.
Yeah.
You might not get to see this other one, so you're hoping.
I'm hoping to.
Well, please reach out to us. You can do that on Facebook and Instagram, Pastor Talk Podcast. You can leave a like, a comment, follow us, share us, do all those good things. That way we can hear from you. We can make sure to get the message of Christ out as far as we can. That's our goal and our desire, right?
Sure.
Absolutely. So thank you guys for listening. You want to close us out?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we are, again, always eternally grateful for the gift of salvation, for the price you paid to bring us to you. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth, living that perfect life, dying the death that we deserve, raising from the dead, and ascending to heaven, reigning with the Father. Thank you for loving us, caring for us, dying for us. We do pray that you be with the individual that wrote this question and all other people who have had those thoughts and have actually maybe did something about them in the past. We pray that you show them the value of church family, the value of membership and being involved in the church. So may you be glorified and honored and praised by our actions and by our churches. In Jesus' name, amen.